to Vikings Purple Past. Here's the fans, Mark Rosen.
And welcome back to another edition of Purple Past. Mark Rosen, your host, along with Hall of Fame coach Bud Grant, who's kind enough to join us this evening. And Bud, the game has evolved, as we know, a lot of different ways. And a lot of people are really concerned about the dangers of the game, the concussions we've seen. You know, it to a great extent may have taken the life of Wally Hilgenberg, a man who you were very close with, and not only was as a player, but also the man who used to hunt and fish with. I mean, just a great guy. And we all know what happened with Wally. Is the game becoming too dangerous in your mind? Is it just anything they can do from a rule standpoint? Or is it what we see is what you get now because of the athletes?
That's a tough question that nobody's answered. I mean, you know, we've gotten, I can remember when I played, we had suspension in the helmet with just a couple of straps inside the helmet that kept your head from bouncing up against the plastic. Now they got helmets with all kinds of cushioning and all kinds of pressures that you can, fit the helmet just skin tight and put air in there and in the right places to make sure it fits good and it doesn't fly off. And I don't know. They haven't convinced me yet that it's the blows that you take that cause some of these mm-hmm. problems, like with Alzheimer's and things like that. They're trying to trace it back to that, and maybe it's an accumulation of things that you have over the years. But I know personally myself, I was knocked out 3 different times playing football, and I've got half of my mind left anyway at this point. But and a lot of players have played full careers and with no problems, and I'm not sure that this concussion is a term that we never used to use as mm-hmm. as much as we do today. Every time somebody gets dinged, they call it a concussion, mm-hmm. but there's got to be a certain degrees of concussion. I mean, do you have a 5-degree concussion or an 80-degree concussion? I don't know. I don't understand all of that. Term is being used a little loosely, I think, because if you know, these guys are hitting one another hard all the time and their heads are, you know, butting up against, helmets and hips and whatever, shoulder pads. I'm not convinced that we're on the right track on this. And you're scaring all these mothers to death about having their kids play Little League football now, mm-hmm. because the Little League football are going to get concussions. Well, I'm not sure that applies to everybody or everything. And you may have a predisposition for concussion, and that may be something you might be able to measure at some point. I haven't seen that worked out yet. And because some, people played for years, and even boxers, a lot of boxers, they get hit in the head every round, they got a concussion.
Right, right.
And some of them came out of it okay, a lot of them didn't. They called them punch drunk.
That's the term they use.
That's the term they used to use, punch drunk.
Yeah.
Well, I can see if you get too many blows, that can be a problem, but boxing would be one of the worst sport to be involved in then. But football is, the thing that people like about football, I think, is the body contact. And if they're going to take out, if they're going to legislate against concussion, I don't know that, I don't know how they're going to do that.
Bud, you're arguably one of the most competitive people around. I don't care if you played chess or whatever you played, cribbage or played basketball or football and coached as well. Yet you were very disciplined about what you did. And one of the things I talked about this morning, and you see the fraternity of players after games, they're all hugging it out at midfield. You would shoot your players off the field, not have them fraternize with the other team afterwards. Was there a specific reason why?
Well, it bothered me a little bit that we'll start at the beginning. Now they run out on the field before the game and fraternize and even after the game. I would not allow our players, I suggested very seriously, that they do not talk to the other players before the game. And specifically that they don't go out in the field after the game and talk and shake hands and all that. Now you say, well, that's, sportsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's baloney. You can't convince me that you're out there knocking that guy around for a full football game, and all of a sudden the game's over and now you're big buddies. Somehow you missed something. I just don't think that you can do that. I would tell them, and if anybody remembers, our team never walked across the field to to shake hands with the other team. I never shook hands with a coach after a game. Never did. Now, I'd tell coaches sometimes, I'd tell them, now, before the game, I'd see them before the game, and I'd say, now, after the game, whether it's win or lose, I'm not going to shake your hand. You know, I'm just going to go in the locker room, so don't be standing in the middle of the field looking for me. And they got that message. And I'd never felt the players were playing their hardest if they could all of a sudden, in a blow the whistle at the end of the game, now they're hugging and kissing after the game. Then they weren't working real hard during the game. I said, meet them. If they come over, just say, I got to go in the locker room. I'll see you at the bus.
Right. That was it.
Yeah, that was it.
And, so it's not a matter of, like, if you're teaching your kids about good sportsmanship, you don't connect the dots in that context. I mean,
No, not at all. Not at all. I explained it to them as good as I could that you can't be knocking your heads and all of a sudden you're done and you shake hands. I said, you're not well enough prepared, or you're mentally not. You don't have an edge on you that you can cut it off that quick.
So how is Bud Grant today in terms of your outdoor life? I mean, people love to know about, I remember even when I was doing the Bud Grant show with you, I think you'd get on the phone some Sunday nights and maybe, you know, calling a buddy to figure out what duck blind you'd be in the next morning. But you're still pretty active at your young age of, what, 84 right now?
I'm 84, and fortunate enough, I can get out and do some things. You know, football is an all-encompassing. I was in, you know, this made my living for 38 years in this business, and, you work 7 days a week, you work three nights a week, you work 26 weekends in a row. It didn't allow a lot of time, even though I snuck time in there from now and again. But now, after retirement, I'm trying to make up for all that time I lost. I know enough when I live long enough to make it up, but I'm trying real hard. So I do hunt and fish a lot. I have a place in Wisconsin. I've got 7 or 8 waterfall trips lined up for this fall, which doesn't count the deer hunting and the pheasant hunting and what else that goes into it. So I do that, but you got to be very careful that it doesn't become an obsession.
Yeah.
It's got to be enjoyment and not an obsession. And I know people who are, they're obsessed with golf, or they're obsessed with tennis or muskie fishing or something. I do it all, but I'm an expert at nothing.
Is there anything on your so-called bucket list or place or something that you haven't accomplished that you'd like to in terms of hunting or as an adventure that you haven't wanted to do?
Well, not really. I mean, I'm not an exotic I hunt. I'm not a trophy hunter. I don't have heads in, trophy rooms or things like that. I hunt and I hunt deer a lot. I hunt deer in 5 states and I just enjoy the outdoors. It's an excuse to be out and observe. I mean, I'm a duck hunter, but I don't measure the success by the amount of ducks I kill, but I like to watch ducks. I like to be outdoors. I like to observe all the other things that go on. I like the freedom. And after, having a job that can strain my time afield, I'm enjoying it very much now, but I've run out of partners.
Yeah, yeah.
At my age, some of them can't do that anymore. They're gone. I'm doing as well as I can, and I don't do it as well either. I've got arthritic back and 2 artificial knees, and so I don't, I can't jump as high, but I can still get out there and enjoy it.
But we have a few more minutes to go, and I, it struck me as I witnessed the interaction that you had with your players at the reunion, the big 50-year reunion last year, and Fran came to town. You coaxed him into coming here, Fran Tarkenton, and of course, the man who you're very, very close with, Jim Marshall, among many, many others, and just what a special fraternity that was, and how close many of you guys still are to this day.
Well, because we had, a core of players that were together for, 5, 10, 15, 17 years in Marshall's case, you get to be very close. And when I came here, I was, 39 years old, and I was almost, there were players almost as old as I was. Mm-hmm. So we got along very good and did a lot of things with players. And it was an atmosphere that not quite what you have now. You see some of the reunions as, the teams have from years past, and, Dallas and Kansas City and the Giants, they've had reunions and bring players back. But I think that's kind of going to go by the boards because a lot of players don't play with the same team for their whole career like our players, many of our players did. and they lived here, didn't make as much money, so they had to live here and work here and off-season find something to do, you know, not only to get by, but to make it financially worthwhile.
Well, a lot of great things have happened in your life and your career, and for me as a reporter, not just being able to do the show with you, but being there in Canton, Ohio, the day that you accepted the Hall of Fame bust as you went into Canton, Ohio, and your wonderful speech talking about the kid had made it stands out in my mind, and I'm sure that's a day you'll never forget.
Well, it's a great honor. You know, I didn't even realize it until actually I got there, and you walk through the Hall of Fame buildings there and see the great history of the National Football League, and to be considered, you know, good enough to be in that hall. I think it kind of gets to you when you get down there, and it's quite an honor, and certainly the highlight of my life in sports.
But it's always a pleasure. It's good catching up with you, and I know our fans appreciate hearing from you as well. And stay healthy, and go get those Ducks this weekend. And
I sure will, Mark.
Enjoy your grandkids as well.